Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. I am Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm here with Bill and Cher, and yes, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
It's another beautiful day in my consciousness. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it is very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
And we are happy to say that we are the co-owners of Unity Center for Universal Prosperity, and we spell that Y-O-U. You can find it at ucfyp.com. And you can find our products at yourspiritualpractice.com. If you go to there, you'll click and you'll see a link for our products, which we hope you will take a peek at.
And if you remember that one, you can click on a link that'll get you to their primary website. Hooray, right, guys?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And my website is paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar, which I am updating as changes occur. And of course, the Absolute Word, which you can email me about if you want to get it directly every week. And so we're doing part two of a spontaneous series, really. And it's about historical unity. It's a point of view around epidemics and contagion, and we're sharing this by reading another article today, and we want to be very transparent. So I think it's important for us to contrast what was believed then and at least where the three of us are now. And this one comes from February 1936. Hooray! Cher, are you ready to take it away?
I am. And the title of this article is Away with Epidemics. And it's by Clara Palmer, who was very active in the movement back in that time. Bill has reminded us that we have some books that she has written. So she was an avid participant and contributor to Unity.
And this is actually from Weekly Unity. For a time, Unity produced some of their documents or periodicals every week. I cannot imagine the machinery it took to put that out, because in those days, they weren't doing electronically. They were setting type.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine how hard that would be?
Yeah, but see, they didn't know it was hard.
I know. We take it for granted what we can do now so easily with the click of a button.
And what's interesting is the editor's note, which is at the bottom of this particular article, she tells us that the next article in this series is called Spiritual Dentistry.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that.
And Paul, of course, is a dentist.
A dentist background. And sometimes in his classes, he still feels like he's pulling teeth, right, Paul?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this was a very special February day, too, in 1936, because it came on February 29th.
Oh,
I didn't notice that either. It's a leap year.
And we had a leap year this year, so we're right in tune. Maybe it's something about epidemics and leap year. What do you think?
Wow.
We could start a new room.
No, okay, let's don't go there.
All right. Again, reminding our listeners that I'm going to start reading and we'll be interjecting throughout. We're not going to read the whole article at one time. Keep in mind, this is the viewpoint from 1936, and then we're going to interject where we are now, what science is saying, and how we can grow as we continue.
And Cher, can you put this up in our resource center for
the
podcast?
Can.
I think we need to do that.
Yep. I will do that.
Yeah, that'll be good.
All right, here we go. Good health is not subject to variation. It is not here 1 minute and gone the next. Good health is the orderly and constant expression of God life. God himself has established it in you.
Well, who wants to take that one?
I'm reading what she wrote. Yeah. I just want to remind everybody.
Anthropomorphic God, that God is doing it to us, separation statement. And we believe God itself is our higher self. Actually.
Right.
So God isn't establishing it. It is.
And God is health.
And God is the...
And we are health.
Principle of health, principle of life, principle of wholeness.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we say to really explain that is that our health is underwritten by our divine genealogy.
Absolutely. And I'm assuming you're meaning our genes are the very principles.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay. So continuing with the writing from 1936, God is your health. Are you willing to accept this truth, to rely upon it, to prove it? You are then immune from disease, secure from any form of epidemic, a torchbearer of the Jesus Christ gospel of life and wholeness.
Okay, so we would change that to an affirmation. God is my health, or I am health.
I am health is more
direct, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we can't believe that those statements make us immune to all disease. What it does is it's those sorts of uplifting positive statements supports our immune system. So it makes it less likely we'll get disease. However, it doesn't prevent all disease.
Right. And statements like that are what lead people to what the three of us call metaphysical malpractice. When people think if they get sick, they did something wrong, they didn't say the affirmation right, or they didn't believe it enough, and so they got sick. And then the first thing people say is, well, what are you doing to cause that?
Right, and it's just metaphysically. And this is where people will do the affirmations and not take any outer action, mm-hmm. which to me, a person is not using divine wisdom or divine understanding.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so continuing with the reading, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall be no evil befall thee. That's a quote from the Bible. They don't say from where, so I can't actually.
Yeah, I didn't look it up either, but wow. Again, wow, I'm just going to just freak out our listeners. But who was the communist that said religion is the opioid for the masses?
Oh, yeah. It may very well have been Karl Marx.
Marx or Stalin. Right? So I would agree, being afraid doesn't help our immune system. So when we claim these truths, it helps me to not be fearful, but it does not mean I'm not going to be sick.
Right, exactly. And one point I'd like to make is when we can recognize the feelings of fear that come and acknowledge it and deal with it, use our calm and connect breathing that we've talked about on other shows and other techniques, what we're doing is we free ourselves up so that we can become aware of our intuitive wisdom about what to do. So we don't act foolishly, we act wisely.
Yeah, so this would be a good place, Bill, for you to interject what we were talking about prior to the show, when people are watching the news and the calm and connect.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Paul. One of our breathing techniques that the three of us use quite often is based on its connection to the vagus nerve. And of course, something that Paul has said time and time again is that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Being a little bit light on that, but it's funny. But it really is based on our vagus nerve. And what it is that the breathing technique that's been recommended by biologists and neuroscientists is 4-7-8. And it's called 4-7-8 because you inhale through your nose to a count of four, and then hold your breath to a count of seven, and then exhale through pursed lips to a count of eight. And you do that three or four times, and it very well, almost immediately, starts the calm and connection response. It really settles you down and calms you down.
It's an excellent technique. Yeah, so I have to apologize to listeners. I had changed it to four, pause for a beat, and exhale six seconds. Oh. So somehow I got that all turned around in my brain cell. And the important thing is
that'll help too.
Right? Yeah. Is that we're actually slowing down, mm-hmm. purposely slowing down our breathing. Because when we get fearful, we start to breathe faster and shallower. And as Bill said, this deep breathing, slow breathing stimulates the vagus nerve and that the side of the autonomic nervous system that produces the hormones that cause calmness in our body.
Yeah, exactly.
And it oxygenizes our brain.
Yes. And so the other thing is when we get nervous or fearful or anxiety, our frontal lobes, the capillaries constrict, we have less oxygen, and we get stupid.
We get stupid
until they open up again. So
what Bill was talking about before the show was how important it is while you're watching the news, because it's very easy to start getting fearful when you hear the news, is to practice that breathing as you watch the news, and it'll help you process what you're hearing in a wiser way.
Absolutely.
And we even have a term for it. We call it post-traumatic news cycle discomfort.
Post-traumatic news cycle discomfort. Yes, of course you would.
Guess who thought of that?
No guessing required. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so picking up the reading from 1936 again, we always want to remind you when it's that we're reading and not our thoughts.
Thank you.
Yes, God is my health. You can begin this very moment to prove this truth, to enjoy the assurance of abiding health. It will free your mind from every thought of fear concerning disease and protect you from it. Disease loses its hold as man looks to God as the spirit of wholeness and knows him as health. Again and again in times of epidemic, we hear or read of those who work in the midst of contagion, unafraid, restoring order, harmony, and wholeness where chaos, fear, and disease reigned. They remain unharmed because their faith and thought is centered in life and wholeness. Yeah. I want to pause there. And because we're seeing from the news right now that even though they do indeed remain calm and unafraid, and they are working, they're not remaining unharmed.
Yeah, so I was really touched this morning as I watched the Today Show. They were interviewing a doctor in New York. His last words on the segment, he was thanking the people who work in his clinic, and he actually started crying.
Oh,
it was so touching. He was so moved by these healthcare workers that put their lives online. And we would add, of course we would want them to be claiming health and life and wholeness and decreasing their own fear for the reasons we've already described. And yet it's not 100%. It's not 100% vaccine to verbal things. Let's put it that way.
And the rest of that sentence might be, and I'm quoting, they remain unharmed because their faith and thought is centered in life and wholeness. And we would add, and they're wearing the proper protective equipment.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. That's true.
Yeah. Which is there's a feeling of a shortage out there with those kinds of things right now too. So just affirming the supply chain is opened up and people are creative about ways in which to provide the things that are needed, I think is, we need to be focusing on that also.
And we're putting people, like Paul was just talking about, that doctor and nurses who are very heart-centered beings who want to help other people, particularly in terms of their health and wellness. And unfortunately, without the proper protective equipment, we're putting these people who by nature are putting themselves in a very vulnerable area to help other people at risk.
Yes, and as we continue with this public service announcement, I'll just share this little tidbit. I am really personally urging everyone to do that social distancing. Wash your hands when you leave, wash your hands when you get home, wash your hands after you handle your mail or packages. And while you're at, wash your hands when you can. It's very important. And just as a scientific note on the social distancing, that I read something this morning that said, if that city in China, Wuhan, had started social distancing just one day sooner, their incidence of disease would have fallen 40%.
Wow.
So we cannot underestimate the value of social distancing.
So get off the beach.
and get off the beach. Yeah.
And I want to say, because I had to relearn this habit, I did it another way, is cough in your sleeve, in your elbow, yes, not in your hand.
Yes.
Yes. So we learned in your hand as I was growing up, and now that's all changed, and it's in your elbow. So,
and what's interesting about social distancing, if you practice it in a very real sense, you can't get much closer to another human being through consciousness because there's no geography in spirit.
That's right.
So if you keep your physical distance, but then have the emotional caring for another human being, you can't get much closer.
Okay, go ahead, Cher.
All right, so good stuff. I'm looking for where I was. Okay, just as strikes are frequently the result of the mass thought of injustice and insufficiency, so epidemics are the result of the mass thought of disease. Fear thoughts working in the minds of the people who have been educated from earliest childhood to believe in disease stir up and create fearsome conditions.
Yeah, so I would go with the fearsome conditions in their consciousness and in collective consciousness. However, all of the old writings say things like this, that our fear thoughts create contagions, actually create the viruses, actually create the bacteria. We know that isn't true now, so we can let that go.
Yep. Yeah, and this next paragraph is what we're going to be talking about for sure. Charles Fillmore says, and I quote, "Disease germs created and named by the intellect of man hear within themselves sufficient intelligence to answer the name given to them and to come when they are called."
Wow. So that just follows on what I just said that we don't agree on. Naming a thing does not bring it to you. Naming a thing can be a way to acknowledge, to be in self-awareness, knowing what are the facts now. Now, how am I going to handle it? If we don't acknowledge it, we don't handle it well.
Right. And Bill's got some science around this too, which I
really
interesting.
Yeah, I want to say this very quickly because Charles Fillmore talks about intelligence. Well, here is microbial intelligence or bacterial intelligence, according to science. It's the intelligence shown by microorganisms, which encompasses their complex adaptive behavior in populations of like or unlike cells through chemical signaling. Bacteria, for example, show remarkable abilities to organize themselves in changing circumstances. Bacteria can display more sophisticated behavior as a population. They, in fact, use electric signals to communicate with each other, non-ionic transmission, to synchronize their growth. Bacterial colonies can mimic biological neural networks. Isn't that amazing? The bacteria can take inputs in the form of chemical signals, process them, and then produce output chemicals to signal other bacteria in the colony. Now listen to this. In pandemic proportions, bacteria move and feed cooperatively in predatory groups known as swarms or wolf packs, using multiple forms of signaling and gene swapping. And Paul talked about genes just a little while ago. Populations of bacteria use quorum sensing to judge their own densities and identify any microbes that are unlike them, creating an attack on those microbes.
So that is huge. And I think this is probably a good place to stop. So let's mark it. And we'll finish this article in our next program. So we're going to go to a part three, because I know we can't finish it. And what Bill said there was so impactful. And I'm going to summarize it. Bacteria, viruses are not stupid. They have...
They're very intelligent.
Right? They have their own innate intelligence. We've already talked in the program how they have consciousness one way or the other, and that they have ways of working together that we're just now discovering. And so this is not cause anyone fear. It's to give us awareness so that we can think and feel and take actions in a logical way using our divine understanding, our divine wisdom, and our divine will to make choices. And let's throw in elimination, divine elimination, to eliminate those things that really do not serve us. And so as we move forward, let us remember that all of those resources are available right at the point of us.
Yep.
Okay, let's pivot to the absolute word. This is such a good word because we're asking people to step into the awareness of their powers. And as I also read this morning, a sailor cannot control the wind or the wave, but they can control the boat by trimming its sails, whatever it does with its rudder. And we are very similar. We cannot control a lot of the things we're hearing about this epidemic. But what we can is we can trim the sails of our consciousness. Mm, we nice. Can adjust our minds and our feelings so that we take appropriate action. So let's see what we have here. So this is from March 22nd. It's the absolute word, and it's based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication that has been used with permission. Power. I have absolute power over my thoughts, feelings, words, and deeds. Power is one of the 12 powers, sometimes known as dominion. God is power. Man is powerful. God is that indescribable reservoir of stored up energy that manifests no potency whatever until set in motion through the consciousness of men. Let me repeat that. God is that indescribable reservoir of stored up energy that manifests no potency. In other words, it's not powerful. It doesn't do anything until set in motion through the consciousness of man, through the consciousness of men and women. Dominion is a power. I use it to be powerful. I use the power that God is. I embody divine power by choosing words that affirm the truth that I am spiritual beingness as I navigate the valleys and peaks of human experience. I have dominion over my thoughts, feelings, words, and deeds. I affirm statements of truth while releasing any negativity. I think and speak with authority from my Christ nature. I have absolute power over my thoughts, feelings, words, and deeds. And if that doesn't shift your consciousness, friends, it's probably because you're not doing it. Amen.
Amen.
And of course, we thank our listeners as we always do. We appreciate you. We appreciate you getting in contact with us. We do this for you and we do it for ourselves because this helps us remind ourselves on a regular basis of the truth we love and the truth we practice. Yep. And of course, oceans of gratitude to Bill and Cher, my magnificent and wonderful and supportive co-hosts. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And we love being part of this.
Yes. And everybody be well.
Be well, think and feel correctly. And so it is.